So I should be probably saving today's episode for a 10th. And if you're not sure what I mean by that, every 10th episode, I tell you how to break a rule of organizing or decluttering your productivity or planning, and then try and give you a tip on how to do it in a way that's a little more suited to the way our brains work. If you've not checked out my Every 10th series, that could be a fun way to kind of skip around in the podcast and check some things out. This kind of feels like it should fit in that topic, but it's not something I want you to do every time. I don't want you to always be breaking this rule. I'm going to talk about this because if you're stuck or you find yourself resistant to trying to get yourself organized, that maybe this is a tactic you can try. Not every time, just as a way to get over the hurdle. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about organizing without decluttering anything, which is normally not the going advice. So we're going to dig into that right after this. A wise person once said, "Everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid." Well, fish, quit trying to climb trees while getting advice from well-intentioned monkeys. It's time to jump in the water and learn how to swim with the current of your life. I'm Joy, a professional organizer, mom of four, and fellow fish brain. If you're looking for a place to get understanding, encouragement, and ideas for your home that actually fit how your brain thinks, then I'm glad you're here. Let's ditch the type A advice and embrace what makes our brains and our homes unique. Together, we can have a joy-loving home. Okay, so digging right into choosing to organize without the decluttering and letting that see where it takes you. The reason I'm leaning into this today is because I had one of my favorite clients reach out to me a couple weeks ago and say she wanted to do a surprise birthday gift for her husband, and he doesn't need anything. So she was like, how can I help reduce some of the stress points in his life? And she's like, I'm going to call Joy and get her to organize a space that I know causes him stress. That would be a cool gift. So we orchestrated what she considered his top three sort of stressor points, and we narrowed down to decide to do his closet. And the reason we chose that multiple choices, one of which just the timeline in order to make a transformation while he was gone, so that it felt like a complete surprise and like a total transformation by the time he walked back in. And then two, because it was something that she right away was like, I'm not going to make any decluttering decisions about his stuff. Like, I don't want to choose things like that for him. So I was like, okay, that is one that we can absolutely do without decluttering, as long as you'll give me a heads up for two things. And I'm going to address those in just a second. But the other reason we didn't choose two of the other spaces, one we could have done, but another is because when I work with a client, every situation is incredibly unique to that person. And so I tend to ask a lot of questions that allow me to see how their brain works and ticks in a certain situation and where I can figure out where they're getting hung up on certain spaces so that I can do what I feel like I do best, which is sort of think out of the box and come up with solutions that I'm like, oh, I already see what you're doing here and why you tend to do it this way. And so how can I solve for that versus just walking into a space and saying, this is how desks should be organized. This is how bathroom drawers should be organized. I don't believe in there should be anything. Your home should function so that it works best for you. That is my approach to organizing. And so the closet was one space where I could pick his wife's brain enough where I could go, you know, what is his daily work uniform? You see him leave here every day. What is it that he typically uses most? So that I could make that have the greatest space, real estate wise, in his closet. And then, so when I said I made her have two agreements with me. One was that she would weigh in on things like that. And two was that, is there an alternate place where if I want to thin out the closet, I can put everything into this alternate space? And if he's missing anything, you can go, I promise Joy didn't get rid of anything. It's just over here. And she could walk him to that space and he could go, but wait, this and this and this are my favorite things, and bring them back into the closet. So that there was no pressure. There was no pressure on her to figure out decluttering. There was no pressure on me to make choices that would be, you know, I don't know his attachment to certain things. And so it freed us both up for this, all I'm doing is organizing. And so why I'm leaning into this for the podcast is, if you have found yourself going, oh, but I won't hire an organizer or get organizing help because they're going to make me get rid of stuff. No organizer should ever make you get rid of stuff. Now, I'm all okay in the sort of like tough love realm of, you just hired me and showed me 16 Pinterest pins of a closet that has 6 items hanging in it. And you're like, I want my closet to look like this and I love this, but your closet has 6,000 things hanging in it. The tough love discussion would be, if you want this look, it has to have less stuff in it. How are you comfortable with us going about that? I think there's some reality to that, but it isn't like, you don't need 3 white shirts. Pick your favorite one. We're getting rid of the other 2. No organizer should be doing that to you. So if you have this sort of like a fear of making the wrong decisions when decluttering, or you're just like, I don't want to give up my precious stuff, possibly consider telling yourself, I'm not going to declutter. I'm just going to organize. And if you can also utilize that trick that I did, which is, can anything be moved out to a different space while you get used to feeling what less clutter feels like? Because some people, it's actually a hard adjustment. And while you kind of live with and ruminate the decisions you were making in the moment of decluttering your closet, let's say, where you're like, oh, I know I'm never going to wear that. I've never worn this. I should probably get rid of that. And then once you start feeling the space and you're like, oh my gosh, I just agreed to get rid of 3 of my favorite items and I can't ever get them back. In this circumstance, you just walk over to the other space and you bring them back into the closet. And if that feels too cluttered, you go, well, I don't know why I kept this, this, and this. I never wear them. It's like my fantasy self. And I don't dress up every day. So I'm going to go put these over in that other closet and still enjoy my nice, new, spacious closet. And again, we're taking out the element of getting rid of stuff. So one is, the pressure is gone. So that's a great way to reason to try this. 2, we are eliminating an entire segment of decision making, which is incredibly fatiguing and incredibly stressful, because instead of sorting things into piles like keep, get rid of, maybe, all you're doing is saying to yourself, is this a shirt? Yep. Goes in the shirt pile. Or you might be making it so complex as to say, these are short sleeve shirts and these are long sleeve shirts. Or these are casual shirts and these are work shirts. You are bringing that effort that you're putting into your brain into such an easy mode that the process of organizing is going to be like, oh, this is what this is. This is actually easy. I can do this. And speaking of things on easy mode, one of the things I love about taking my magic mind next to my coffee every morning, because one, I never forget to drink my coffee, so I can always pair my magic mind with that, is that 2, it puts on easy mode this ability to focus, this nice, easy energy that is not jittery, kind of like a calm energy, if you will, because it has great ingredients that help with stress and focus, and just, it's something I have loved adding to my life that is to me an easy button, because I'm not always going to eat right. I'm not always going to get 8 hours of sleep. I'm not always going to choose less doom scrolling, which I know is better for my brain. I'm not always going to be able to get outside for 30 minutes, but opening the cap, breathing in this really great calming smell, and then drinking my Magic Mind shot every morning is just the easy button of being good to my brain. So if that is something you have heard me talk about and you want to support the podcast and you want to support yourself, please use my link. It is magicmind.com Joy's Home. And if you use the code JOYLOVING, you'll get 20% off your order. And if you order in subscription, which is what I do, so I don't have to remember to keep renewing it, you get even more. Like, it's cheaper if you add the subscription part. So try it. I will add the links in the show notes in case you want to see that. All right, back to the thought of, okay, Joy, if I'm going to organize my closet, we'll just stay with closet as the example, but this would work for any space. Instead of all of these decluttering decisions, you are simply sorting, which if you've listened to my podcasts before about sort of the five steps to organizing, that's already step number one. Even if you're going to choose to later declutter, you're going to do the sorting first. So just say, all I'm doing is sorting. And in the case of his closet, we literally grouped things like long sleeve work shirts, jackets, suits, outerwear, sweaters, dress pants, jeans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And once we had everything grouped, I brought her in to talk about, again, what is his work uniform? When does he use the suits? When does he use the, you know, a lot of this is heavier outerwear. If I want to have this feel really breathable and lovely, where is that space I can move this stuff to? And when she saw it just sorted, she was like, oh my gosh, this looks so great. Holy cow. How many of that same pair of pants does he have? That's crazy. But we were able to have her walk through and go, like, since I have been married to him, I have never seen him wear a long sleeve t-shirt. I had no idea he had 26 long sleeve t-shirts. Why? So we moved all of those out. Things like that. We were able to, with her seeing it organized, make some very clear, confident decisions, of which we're just moving them to a different space, so that once we sort of went through and finessed and stylized and added everything so that priority was what he wears 5 days a week, she was so, she's like, oh my gosh, she was thrilled with what a transformation it can make, knowing she had not given a green light to get rid of anything. And yet she knew he was going to feel how different that closet felt, because all we did was now group things together. We shifted out. He had had sort of a going run with a same hanger, but then over time, dry cleaning hangers and just grabbing some from here, there, everywhere. Well, when we decided to move some things out, we were able to shift hangers around so that when he walked in, everything would be hanging the same direction in like groupings on the same hangers, which visually, again, it's just a silly little perk. That is not organizing, but visually it drops the clutter so much that you feel lighter. You feel more organized with consistent things for your eyeball. We went ahead and did the fun little like group everything by like colors, and the before and after pictures are great. I don't share client stuff to my Instagram anymore. I don't put the energy into that I used to, but I do a monthly newsletter where I do a real client example in there and the lessons learned and the tactics I used. And I will be adding this to the next one. So if you don't happen to be a member of my newsletter and you want to drop into that email, just go to joylovinghome.com and you'll see it's called A Little Jolt of Joy. You can sign up for that newsletter and you'll get little tidbits where I go through real life organizing in real clients' homes and what the main focus was each time and sort of the lessons learned with it. That's one of the features to my newsletter. So yeah, I feel like I digress, but I guess what I'm going back to and why this podcast, why I wanted to do this in the first place is the funny thing happens in releasing yourself from this weight of decluttering as part of organizing is that once you see what he now can see, is that you may, of your own accord, give yourself permission to start decluttering things. Because once things are organized, you can see, holy cow, I have 16 of the same pair of pants. Why? And you may then say to yourself, but they're all good. None of them are worn out. Why in the world? But okay, fine. But you might decide, I'm going to move 8 of them into a different closet. And as these start to wear out, I'm going to go back and shop my own closet and start replacing them rather than just buying them because I thought I needed them. Or you might see a grouping like the long sleeve t-shirts and say to yourself, why do 26 shirts that I have never worn get this much real estate in my closet that is causing me stress because it's overpacked? You may actually say to yourself, I actually am willing to let that go now that visually I can see what that's costing me. It's costing me space that really is entitled to other things having more room to breathe and to see. And I'm not willing to give it that space anymore. I'm not willing to sacrifice space for something I never, ever wear. And so this trick of giving yourself permission to not declutter may end up, and I'll say the word tricking, but I don't know if I mean tricking, but it may end up encouraging you to go ahead and declutter once you're through with it, because it wasn't a have to. It was, oh, now I'm smart enough to know this would actually be valuable to me. So give it a try. See if that helps. Just pick a space. Give yourself the permission to not get rid of anything, but see if you happen to. I think it'll actually work. Oh, and before I forget, I wanted to remind you all that there are 5 days left to join the membership community, which is $10 a month. Cancel anytime. In the membership, we do monthly challenges that are different every single month. We do Work With Me Wednesdays, where you get to get on Zoom calls with me and we body double each other and we get work done. And it's just, it's a good time with people that are just like you, who are encouraging and non-judgmental. And if you just are like, I am ready to take some action in my home, this could be a really fun way at a really, really reasonable price point. So think about it. If you're interested, again, 5 days, I'm closing it midnight, April 30th, and I won't open it again until fall. But the way to get there is go to joylovinghome.com/membership. All right, until next time, continue to choose joy.